you have been with us, if you were with us last week or the previous weeks, we had been talking about heaven. Where is heaven? We established that heaven, finally, heaven is on earth, right? We established that we are not ascending literally to anywhere. So that theology of literally, you know, that's an elevator theology where you ascend like a lift to the sky somewhere, it's not actually what the Bible was teaching. All right, it's not what the scriptures teach. When you properly look at it closely, we saw from the Old Testament up to the New Testament, right, that the heavens yes, the Hollywood version, yeah, that the heavens are on earth here, the heavens are with us here on earth, that heaven is just simply an unseen realm. Heaven is just a realm that is beyond the optical eyes, right? Optical eyes. So is that not tautology? Hallelujah. For those who know English properly or biology properly, you get. So heaven is right here on earth. Heaven is here on earth. So what's going to happen after the rapture? Well, the truth of the matter is, the word rapture is not in the scriptures, it's not in the Bible. Now let me just say this: true one is not like every other common Christian religious organization or fellowship or something. Here we don't do the norm. What we do, the scriptures. We study the scriptures. We are not lazy here. We like to hear what God's word actually says. So don't get scared that, oh, this is some kind of movement that we are trying to bring up some new doctrine, you know, or some false, you know, self-oriented or self-gratifying or self-glorifying kind of doctrine where you just want to feel like you're doing something that's new. No, that's not what we're doing here. What we do here is simply do the word of God. We look at what the scripture says. So that said, I forgot to do this thing. That said, we have everything from the Bible. So we said heaven is on earth, right? And we have been saying that the book of Genesis, when God says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, we said that simply means that the heavens was on earth, okay? And that heaven on earth, it was God's plan of salvation, of saving men, of giving men life eternal. So that's why he then said, let us make man. So part of God's plan from the beginning was to make man in his image. The image of God is not the image that everyone, like, oh, we are all created in the image of God, as some of us have colloquially said, but it is that the image of God as revealed in the New Testament is Christ. So when God said, let us make man in our image, he was actually saying, in other words, let us make man, the whole of mankind, in Christ. So that means God's first thought for mankind is that men would be in Christ. Or we can see that men would have the Holy Spirit inside of them, because to be in Christ is the same thing as saying to have the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the Holy Spirit and not be in Christ. Do you get that? You know, let's just look at what one scripture that establishes that. Romans 8. If you look at it quickly, Romans chapter 8 and verse, it says, okay, look at verse 9. Romans 8 verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, you can see that. Look at verse 10, sorry. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So, now you see how he uses the word Christ and the Spirit together, you know, interchangeably. So, to be in Christ is to be in the Spirit. So, when God said, let's make man in our own image, God was actually saying, let us make men, that is both male and female, to be in Christ. So that means God makes two genders, all right, and unites them by one Spirit, so that both of them will be able to do the same things by that Spirit. So it's not because I'm a female, then I'm only limited to certain abilities, as you know, as in terms of my relationship with God or in terms of my ministry. You don't limit yourself to that. Or because I am male, I think this is how it's meant to be. I'm meant to be a pastor as a male. I'm automatically, by my gender, you know, called to the ministry. So I'm just receiving a notification right now. So just stay with me for just a minute, please. I'll just pause the recording. Right. Yeah, we're here. So yeah. So yeah, we have established all of that. So then we then look at Ephesians chapter 1. Just look at Ephesians chapter 1. That the image of God is in Christ. So we are all in the image of God. We all have the Spirit of God inside of us. So what does it mean exactly to have the Spirit of God inside of you? What does it mean? Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. You know, my Bible has just a few books. Some lost books are in my Bible. I have some lost books. Oh, I don't have some lost books. They are lost already. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. Guys, can you open to the scriptures? Let's see what Paul says about the new creation. Okay, it starts by saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, we're starting from verse 1. Apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to all the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Obviously, we know that when he says Ephesus, he might have been talking to the Ephesian Christians, but they are all Christians. We are also Christians. So, by implication, or by relation, or identification, we are a part of this reality here. So, it says in verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus. I just want to open up these two verses. Verse 2 says, grace be unto you. Now, the King James Version didn't do justice to this verse because sometimes the translators often add words, and when you add words, sometimes it changes the original intent of the writer, the image that the writer wanted to paint while he was writing that. So, the word grace there, is the word charis. We know that already. Where it says be to you, the word be is not in the original. If you're in the King James Version, discover that it's in italics. And when you have a Bible that's in italics, or sorry, a text that's in italics, it means that it was added by the translators. Okay, those who translated it to English language, so it was added. So when I read the Bible, I don't read it with those, unless by context, or less in context, it fits in, then we can go with it. All right, so it says grace to you. So that word grace to you actually is grace is with you. Right? Grace is with you. So it wasn't saying let grace come to you. It wasn't saying let grace come to us. It was saying grace is with us. So we can say that because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, grace is with us. That's the first thing to note, that grace is with us. As believers, grace is always with us. The grace of God is always with us. It's always with us. So it says, and peace. Alright? And peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus. King James Version added the word from. From is not in the, it's not there. So take out the word from. So it is now God our Father and the Lord Jesus. So that means God our Father and Jesus Christ are not separated. Both of them are God. All right. So God our Father. I read a tweet the other day, and I wasn't so happy with it. I think it's from the Christian Twitter. You know, someone was trying to give like a conversation between herself and God. And you know, and all that, and then she starts saying, you know, stuff, trying to make it really interesting. I don't know who this is, Dr. Hafiz. I'm not gonna do that. Hallelujah, praise God. So yeah, you know, so but had a problem with the part that she said, and she began to talk with God, and then Jesus stepped into the room. I'm like, no. That can never happen. That's not true. It presents God as one being and Jesus Christ as another being. What's going on? Wow, this is not good. What's going on? Network as a separate being from Jesus Christ. Whereas the scriptures actually tell us that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the full of the Godhead, that is the Father and the Holy Spirit together are in Christ. Jesus Christ is the revelation of the Father, right? Jesus Christ unveils the whole God. The Holy Spirit unveils the Father. So Jesus Christ is the embodiment of that. So we cannot have God talking to you and then Jesus also talking to you. It's not possible. It's actually impossible. So that's just the thing about it. So that's why this verse now says God our Father and Jesus Christ. So that means Jesus is also God, right? So now let's read that verse again. Verse 2 will now be like, you have grace and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ. All right, or we can say we have peace and grace from God our Father in Jesus Christ. We have peace in Jesus Christ. So because Jesus died for our sins, because Jesus died for us, we now have peace with God. So then verse 3 then says, it says, blessed be the God. Now let's take away that word be. It says, it's actually, so it's now, it should then be, blessed is the God, or the blessed God. Right, the blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. One thing to note here is that it tells you that it's referring to the blessed God who has blessed us, but it then tells us that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Wow, we are blessed with all by the blessed God. Right, we are blessed with all by the blessed God. What are the spiritual blessings? It says all spiritual blessings. It didn't say some spiritual blessings. It says all spiritual blessings. So as a new creation who is now in the kingdom of God, as a new creation who is now is in the kingdom of God, as a new creation who has received the Holy Spirit into our hearts, as a new creation, as that man that God spoke of, where it says, let us make man in our image. I am now blessed with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. That means every blessing that God had to give, God already has given us. Because he's talking to believers here. God already has given us every spiritual blessing. But now, I want to unveil this a little bit more. It says, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, someone might be asking, I just said kingdom of God. We explained already that the kingdom of God is what? The kingdom of God is within the hearts of men. That the kingdom of God is not a city. So when Jesus Christ was saying things about the kingdom of God, he was speaking about what to happen in the hearts of men, right? So when God, Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That means the Holy Spirit is actually God's kingdom. We'll see that next week anyways. We'll talk about the kingdom of God a lot in our next teaching. Where's the kingdom of God? All those things. Just talk about the kingdom a little bit more, you know. So, but here it tells us that we have all God's blessings in the Spirit. Now, that word spiritual blessings, the word spiritual there is the word pneumaticos. Pneumaticos. Pneumaticos is the word often used in the Bible for spiritual things or the things of the Spirit, like gifts of the Spirit. You know, so it says he has blessed us with every gift of the Spirit. There's no gift of the Spirit that we don't have. Every gift of the Spirit. You know, today we often say that some believers are born with the gift of healing, the others are born with the gift of prophecy, some tongues and interpretation, all that. But not everyone is born with all of the gifts. Well, the word here is the word for the things of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. That's what pneumaticos. Pneumaticos. It means God has blessed us all with all of it. So right now where you are, you have all of God's gifts of the Spirit. That's the blessing. Now, hold on. It's just, that's not all. That's not all. There's also, the things of the Spirit is not just exclusive to the gifts of the Spirit. It's also inclusive of the fruits of the Spirit. So right now, inside of us, we have the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, all that. We have the fruit of the Spirit inside of us. But he now tells us that he's with all of it. All of it. But he then says, in the heavens. Where is the heavens? in the heavens where? In Christ. So watch this. All of God's spiritual blessings are in Christ. That means God gave us all his blessings when he gave us Christ. That means God gave us all his blessings. Christ is all of God's blessings. You can write that down. Christ is all of God's blessings. Christ is all of God's blessings. Do you know God cannot bless you any better now? God can't, because he has given you all in giving you Christ. Oh, that means if you have Christ inside of you, you have all of God's blessings. I want us to think about this, because if you want to get something from tonight's meeting, is that you have all of God's blessings in Christ. Christ is all that God is. The book of Colossians calls him the fullness of God, the fullness of the Godhead. So God inside of you is all of God's blessings. That means everything that God can do, that's everything that we saw in Christ, we can do the exact thing. Everything, think about that. Everything, that every thought that comes into God's head is how, is the same thought that comes into our head. That is the blessing. The blessing is having God's inclination, God's orientation, God's perspective, God's heart. That is the blessing of God. He says he has blessed us with all in Christ. That means once you have Christ, you have all of God's blessings. Say, oh Lord, I need you to bless me. Bless me, Lord. Oh God, I need you to bless me. Bless me. No. God has blessed me. God has blessed me. We can actually say, I am the blessed of God. Hallelujah. You know? Blessed be the God of our Lord. This is all spiritual blessings in the heavens. So we know what the heavens is, right? In our hearts or in the unseen. That is, you can't find it. It's not somewhere in the heavens like you, somewhere far away. No, like some people have actually said, they said, oh, the blessings are spiritual. Since they are spiritual in heaven, it means we have to bring them down from heaven and bring them down to the earth. Wow. Thank God we now know that heaven is on earth. Hallelujah. You say we need to, you know, some of us, you have your spiritual money in heaven. You need to translate that heavenly money, translate it to physical money in your bank account. I wish that were true, but that's not what Paul was saying here. You can imagine him saying that. You can imagine that being his thought when he was writing this. But obviously, that's not it. That's not it. You know, let's just read on. Look, he explains these blessings further. He says, according as he has chosen. Now, I want to point out something to us. What it says, according, the word according there is seeing that, is the word kathos. Seeing that means how we know that God has blessed us is when we see. Seeing that, so God has blessed us, previous verse, God has blessed us, I'm taking us somewhere, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, right? Or God has blessed us with all of his blessings by giving us Christ. He now says, and we know this when we see that. That is, we can see that God, hold on. Just listen to this. Let's read verse 4. It says, according as he has chosen us, let's change that word according, let's change it to seeing that. So seeing that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So now this is new creation, heavenly realities. You know, we spoke about the fact that you can be in heaven but not have the kingdom of heaven, or not be in the kingdom of heaven, right? So we are all in heaven, demons, angels, devils, God, we are all in heaven here on earth, right? However, those who have the kingdom of heaven are those who have the reign. That's what kingdom in the Bible, the word kingdom means reign, the authority over the spiritual and natural, authority over the spiritual and the natural. So in the kingdom of heaven, we see something. There's something we see in the kingdom of heaven. Please follow me. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now it says we see that he has chosen us. we see that God chose us. So when you see Christ, when you see Christ, remember God has blessed us with all of his blessings in Christ. So when we see Christ, what do we see? That God chose us. If you look at Jesus and you don't see that God has chosen us, you haven't seen Jesus. Okay, let's make this more personal. It says we can see that God has chosen us when we see Christ. Not that we see God pacified when we see Christ. We don't see Christ bearing, you know how we often teach that Jesus Christ came to bear the anger of God. We don't see Christ bearing the anger of God when we see Christ. We see that God has chosen us when we see Christ. Please pay attention. We don't see God pacify. We don't see Christ pacifying God. We've established that Christ didn't come to pacify the anger of God, as often thought. You see, we see God choosing us. Christ didn't make God to choose us. He says all that God wanted to say was that he chose us. God chose us. He says before the foundations. That word before is the word pro. Pro is, you know, when you say proactive, that is before something else, right? Pro. It says before the foundation. That word foundation means to lay out something. That is before Genesis. God already thought in his mind, I choose men. I choose you. I choose mankind. I choose them. So God created us to choose us. This is not about being born again or not. This is about God. Before creating man, he said, I choose them. So when we see Christ, we are meant to see God choosing men. Hold on, watch this. We're meant to see God choosing evil men. Oh, how do we see God choosing evil men? What does that word chosen? Now, let me explain what I mean by chosen. What that means is that you see how that God was never against us and that God was for us. God wants us. God wants us. He's not asking us to step up to him. He is asking us to receive him. He has come to us. He's with us. Paul said in Acts 17 and in Acts, I think Acts 14, you know, and in Romans, the book of Romans, Paul said God is not far from any one of us, unbelievers and believers. We see that in Christ. That is, God showed us that he loves us when he showed Christ. How? They reviled him and he didn't revile against them. They cursed him. He didn't curse them. You know, they beat him up and he didn't do anything. He didn't even try to defend himself. That's God. That's how God revealed that this is his thought for us. Jesus came to the world. Guess who he chooses as disciples? He doesn't want to choose people who are learned. Like, he doesn't choose people who are well behaved. He chooses extortioners, you know, tax collectors, thieves. Judas Iscariot chose. To think that a holy God would choose Judas Iscariot is unconventional in Christianity. When you give a thought to it, a woman named Mary Magdalene came to Jesus. We all know that story. I'm sure most of us are conversant with it. You know, that the woman who, you know, was consenting a prostitute. Some say she was, some say she wasn't. But whichever way, she was a sinner, as it were. So she comes to Jesus, and then she uses her perfume, pours it on his feet, uses hair to wipe to her feet, and kept kissing the feet of Jesus. And then the people around him said, if only you knew the manner of woman that was here. You know, some of us think sometimes when you see how God uses a man, and when I say man, I'm referring to both male and female. When you see how God uses a man, you often, some of you, they say, later I'll see you insulting someone out there. If only these people knew the kind of woman this person is, the kind of man this person is, they will know that God is not with them. We are thinking exactly like those people who don't know God. We are not seeing that God has chosen us. You know, I said a post some time ago that the things we call the word of God, right, were written by men who were sinful. The things we call the word of God, I mean the things that God called his word, the things that men quoted, that Jesus himself quoted and said, oh, look at what they said, was actually from men who were sinful. Example, David. No, the Bible says Jesus sat on the throne of David. You know, David was a man. He was not just an adulterer. David was a tyrant. David killed, watch this. He sleeps with someone else's wife amongst other women, right? And then he kills one of their husbands. That's the one we know, the only one we know. He kills the man and then marries the wife. Who does that? And you say God is using him? That is someone who was evil. That is evil. What I'm not saying here is that God likes evil. No. I'm just making us to see something, how God really is, how God thinks. Sometimes when we talk like this, people say, are you saying that God can, who is Johnson? I don't know who Johnson is. I'm not admitting anybody here. No, these guys, I don't know them. If anyone knows who Johnson is, please let me know. All right, so until I place a security system here, I won't be able to do that. All right, so God chooses David. He uses David's word as prophecy for Jesus Christ. David is called a prophet. He's called a man of God. Hallelujah. It just tells you how God has always, that's why that concept of God being angry in the Old Testament, and then it's not true. God has always chosen men who were unfaithful. God chose the extortioners, the tax collectors, the shrewd, the thieves, the poor, the rich, the diseased, the unfaithful. He chose me. Hallelujah. He chose you. He chose murderers like Paul. He says, before the foundation of the world. Do you see that? That is, before he planned salvation, he chose us. You know, just like when you want to, I don't know who these are. Sad. If you know any Victor Hazel, please let me know. If you know Victor Hazel, please let me know. So God chose, I said, if you imagine when you want to, you know, probably get, you want to, you know, as you often say, woo a girl. And sometimes you also have to ask yourself, how is she? What's her character like? Her opinions, my opinions. Her dreams, my dreams, or something like that. Or can we work together? All those stuff. You try to find her character, etc. But then, God actually chose us even before we were up to anything. He chose us. It's overwhelmingly amazing. Because we don't think like that. Hallelujah. You get the point. So God chose us. That's the word. Alright? Yeah, he has chosen before the foundation of the world. So he now says that, he says, having predestinated us unto the adoption, that's verse 5. Unto adoption of sons. Unto the adoption of children by himself. By Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So basically just means that God chose us, predestinated us. Now, when it says predestinated us, doesn't mean that God predestined that these certain people would be in Christ and then the others would go to hell. No, it just means that before God created mankind, he already determined that man would have the opportunity to be in Christ. So God comes to ask men out. Hallelujah. It comes to ask men out, and then he leaves them, because he's a loving God. He leaves them to their opinion. He leaves them to their choice. Hallelujah. Because a God of love is only obligated to present people with choices. He's not, if he were a God of love and he made robots, he's not a God of love. Hallelujah. A God of love is only obligated to do that, to present someone with a choice. Because people often ask, why didn't God all that stuff create us without choice? Then fam, we couldn't ask the question. Hallelujah. So that's the whole point of it, you know, that God has chosen us in him. So you see, the thing about the kingdom of God or the new creation is something that is loving. is God's love shown to us. God, when God gave Jesus Christ, he was not giving Jesus Christ so that Jesus Christ can make him happy. Oh, because he was so angry, so much sin in the world. No, God showed us himself, his true nature in Christ. He says, oh, listen, no matter how you treat me, I tell you the truth, I am love. So we see God's love expressing Christ. That's why Jesus came. Hallelujah. So 2 Corinthians 5 then says, to wit that God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling us to himself. What that means is that God wanted us to see who he truly was when he showed us Christ. Reconciling the world. So when it says reconcile, means change your mind. Change your mind about who God is. Change your mind. Change your mind about who God is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that's exactly what it is. So he has been listening. So let's just read on to a few verses here. He says, to the praise of his glory when he has made us accepted. I'm reading verse 6. Now verse 7. He now says, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. When you see Jesus Christ, you see the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. When he has made abounded, when he had abounded to all towards us in all wisdom, having made known unto the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he has proposed in himself. Now look at verse 13. It says, in whom you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So when God said he wanted us to be holy, God already said, oh, this man will be holy. Means that he was referring to the Holy Spirit that would dwell inside of us. Hallelujah. Then look at verse 17 or verse 16. Paul then prays, says a prayer. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you. So when Paul looks at all of this and how God chose every one of us in our faults, in our inadequacies and all that, Paul says, I don't cease to pray for you. You know, the reason God chose us was not just to say, oh, I accept you the way you are. That's true. God does. Absolutely. Well, God wants to heal us. 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 You know, when God comes to the world, that's Jesus, and then he sees men who are in sickness, he doesn't just hug them and say, oh, it is well with you. But God actually heals them. That's a sign that God came to heal us of our hurts. Hallelujah. So if you are having your heart somewhere, you know that that's not God's will. God is willing to heal the heart. He's willing to heal the heart. But you see, men will heal the heart when they see how God loves them and how God loves men. You know, that's why in scriptures we are asked to love other men, right, as we have been loved by God. You know, when people find it difficult, and I understand it's sometimes difficult to forgive people, sometimes difficult to love people, but you see, the truth of the matter is, when you see yourself loved, when you see how God loved you, you in all of your weaknesses, hallelujah, it means that we all are just vessels deserving, that have received God's mercy. That's all we are. That's exactly what we are. We are just vessels that have received God's mercy. Praise God. When you begin to see people as God sees them, you'll be able to love them as God loves them. That's why it then says, love your neighbor as you have been loved. People have used that to teach self-love, that you must love yourself and then love your neighbor, something like that, you know, treat yourself good. That's not what the scripture was saying. You're just saying love your neighbor as you have been loved. That's just something throughout scriptural explanations. It's a selfless love as God has loved you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? So yeah, so that's one thing about it. So we see all of that in Christ. It now says, I cease not to make prayers for you. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in prayers. That's verse 16. It now says that the God and Lord and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of him. So he's now praying that God will help us to see who he truly is in Christ. It says that the eyes of your understanding, verse 18, when it's enlightened, you may now know what is the hope of his calling. That is, you might now know why you received the Holy Ghost. It says, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So that means when your eyes are enlightened, you then see the power of God inside of you. Now we're going to be seeing what the power of God is. God gave us the Holy Ghost. God gave us the forgiveness of sins so that we can exert his power. What is his power here? His power is the power of love. His power is not the power of tyranny. It's not the power of show off. It's the power of his love. You know, the gifts of the Spirit is the power of God in us. The fruit of the Spirit is the power of God in us. But you see, all of them are stirred up by love, by care for the other person. That is what Paul is asking men to see, that they will see the riches, the well of love we have. That power, that power is not just power like electricity. Oh, power to kill. You know, some people say, I remember my man of God saying, you know, that it says, I'm the war. I'm the lion. I'm the Indaboski, just vernacular. Indaboski Bahosi. It says, when you try me, I will deal with you. It says, I don't forgive. Only God forgives. I am a war. You know what? That he's trying to show that he's powerful. He's trying to show that he has the power of God, in quotes. But you see, the power of God is not in denomination. Is it numeration? I'm trying to find the right correct English word. But it's not in domination. Yeah, that's the word. It's not in domination. It's not in exacting authority over, like lording over. Actually, the power of God is actually submission. Now look at this. We're going to close with this because of our time. Look at something. And we go from here, go into the kingdom of God. What the kingdom of God is. Look at Matthew chapter 20. We'll close with this. We'll close with this text. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. We're going to read 20 to 28. All right. Matthew 20, 20 to 28. Now, if someone can, I would like them to please post that scripture here on the group chat, on the chat, just for everyone to see. Matthew 20, 20 to 28. Matthew 20, verses 20 to 28. All right, hope you're there. Is Rachel here? Please, can you do that for me? Thank you. Rachel, please do that for me. Thank you. All right, Matthew 20, 20 to 28. Matthew 20, 20 to 28. We're gonna read now. Are you there? Now, this is after Jesus talks about his death and all that stuff. Then, verse 20 says, we're going to talk about the kingdom, the authority of God. It says, Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's child with her sons, worshipping him, that's worshipping Jesus, and desiring a certain thing of him. Yeah, if you could, please, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Bernice. All right, so it said in verse 21, it says, and he said unto her, what will thou? That's what do you want? What do you want? So he says, she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, one at your right hand, the other at your left, and in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. Then look at verse 23. He says, and he said unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to see that my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Verse 24. It says, and when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles, that's the unbelievers, natural men, it says, exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. So what Jesus was explaining here is someone was asking, oh, I want to be great in your kingdom, sit at your right hand, all that stuff, authority. And then Jesus said, are you able to drink of my cup? So the authority there was the cup that he was going to drink, which was death, sacrifice. Okay, so Jesus then says, the people of this world, how they exercise authority is by domination. How you know a man is powerful is usually when the man is able to dominate someone, defeat someone, persecute someone. That's power, right? But Jesus's mindset, he tells people that actually in the kingdom of God, it's the other way, that how God overcomes, how God exerts authority, how God gives vengeance, how God destroys, is actually through sacrifice. Hallelujah. It's actually through giving himself. Praise God. Okay, so actually through giving himself, that's the kingdom of God. It's through giving himself. When we have experience, it's okay, we're gonna leave that one till next week's teaching. But you see how God exerts authority is different. So when you see in the scriptures that God would exert vengeance, all that stuff, the vengeance was in his sacrifice. God's way of killing, of destroying, is in sacrifice, giving himself. Hebrews 2 verse 13 says that him through death, that's Jesus, destroyed him that had the power of death, that's Satan. How did God destroy Satan? By death, his death on the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you see, God giving us the Holy Spirit gave us that inclination to exercise his authority, his power, through love, through service to one another. You see, the Philippians 2 will say, let the mind which was in Christ Jesus be in us also. He says, even though he was in the form of God, he didn't think it was robbery when he made himself of low estate to become like a servant. Say, let that same mind be inside of you. He says he humbled himself even unto death. And that is the way God exalted him, the man who died and was raised from the dead. He then tells us, walk out your salvation in that same way. Sacrifice. He's not asking us to get saved. Is asking us to imitate Jesus's life, a life of sacrifice. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you have the spiritual blessing. That is spiritual blessings. Next week we're going to go into the kingdom of God. My intention was for us to start on answered prayers, but the Spirit of God told me to stay on the new creation a little bit and then go into unanswered prayers, because prayers is how we exert authority on earth, is one of the ways we exert God's power here on earth, receiving answers to our prayers, all that. So yes guys, that's it for today. I know that we were not able to do so much today because of a little one or two disruptions here. So yeah guys, distractions and all that, we give God the praise. If you have a question, once again you may ask the question, and that'll be in 30 seconds. All right. So yep. That's it for today or tonight. Hope you're blessed. Amen. All right. Amen. So guys, we meet every Friday. We meet Wednesdays as well. So if you're free on Wednesday, you can join us same time. If you have a question, you may ask now. We want to see 100 people here. We trust God for that. You know, we want to see, because some people that we can't reach physically, we must reach them online. Hallelujah. You have to reach them let believers come around, let unbelievers come around. You know, that's the thing about the power of God. Once his word is taught correctly, faith comes, men believe, no matter where they're coming from. You know, hallelujah. So you're free to invite one or two people. I want to see how I can be sure of not inviting you know, unserious folks here. You know, that's the thing about it. Okay guys, in the absence of any questions, I think we can join tonight's meeting, guys. It's always good to see you all. Have a good evening. Yep, see you next week. God bless you. God bless you, Bernice. Have a blessed weekend. By the way, I keep forgetting, in this ministry, if you want to support the ministry, I don't have the details. You know what? For those of you who are still around, I'll just type the details, the account details here. If you want to support this ministry, we are paying for both physical meetings that we're about to have. You're sure of that, and they are paying for our meetings here. So guys, and the many other things. So please, if you want to support, I'm going to quickly send that to the group chat. So if you're in the UK, if you want to transfer to the UK account, sort code, I'm just gonna type it here. I keep forgetting, you know. And yeah, we have a group chat. If you want to join the group chat as well, you can let me know. Alright, that's done. That's the UK one. Then if you want the Nigerian one, what's that Nigerian account number? Access. Alright guys, that's it for tonight. Brother Israel Daly and Anthony, God bless you guys. I'll see you again very soon. God bless you. I'm gonna have to close the copy, so I'll just get this one somewhere. Okay guys, now what's guy, you won't mess me up.